Welcome back to Amantya podcast series. The topic of today's conversation is 5G Lab and its role in the future of connectivity. Interestingly, today, 11th May, is also the National Technology Day, a day dedicated to recognizing scientific and technological developments. Making today's discussion around one of the most prominent and transformative technologies of current times even more meaningful. We already spoke extensively about 5G and its potential in our earlier podcast, where we discussed how the 5G has taken connectivity to an altogether different level, helping unlock new use cases and helping us realize the full potential of next-gen technologies like AR, VR, AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning, V2X, robotics, mech, etc. In case you missed the podcast or want to visit it again, it's available on our website and social media pages. Today, we shall delve deeper and focus on an important enabler of 5G and its related technologies, the 5G Lab, and the vital role it plays in enabling and accelerating the development of the 5G ecosystem. And here with us to share his expert views and industry outlook on the topic is Amantya's 5G specialist and the force behind our comprehensive 5G solutions and services portfolio, our AVP Engineering, Gaurav Sharma. Welcome, Gaurav. Wonderful to have you here with us today.
Thank you.
Look forward to an interesting and informative session with you.
Sure. Let's start.
So let's just start, and we'll start with the getting the basics of 5G labs. So my first question to you is, what are 5G labs and how do they add value to the fast evolving 5G ecosystem?
Okay. So before I start talking about 5G labs as such, let's take a step back. Let's talk a little bit about 5G as such. What's the whole buzz around 5G, right? Because once you understand what is 5G, why is it critical, obviously you'll be in a position to better appreciate why do we need 5G labs, right? Now, if you look at the way the communication industry has evolved, especially in the last few years, right? The world has become a much, much, much more connected place, right? Not only in the terms of devices that actually talk to each other, but also in terms of the speed with which they talk to each other, right? Now, if you recall 20, 30 years back, phone was nothing more than just something that you picked up, called your family or your friends and passed on the message, 3 minutes, done, right? Right. And the critical thing about that was that you were actually not calling people, you were calling locations. So you had a fixed phone, right? So you were not calling a person, you were calling a location. Now, with the advent of mobile, 2G, wireless, you started calling people, right? People were moving, right? So locations were changing. Now, what happened with that was that, okay, so you took this step, now you started calling people. The next step, obviously, was let's move away from voice. Let's start talking about data. With 2G, of course, you had very, very poor speeds, right? 3G came in, speeds were bumped up. And it is at that point of time people started realizing this thing that probably communication is moving forward, moving in a different space now. It's not voice-centric, it is data-centric. Then 4G happened. And then people actually took this notice that, okay, now we are probably at this cusp of things where you would want the whole world to be connected, devices to be talking to each other. So you had all these crazy technologies coming up, right? Now, if you look at now where we are today, and if we look forward, right, there would be billions and billions of devices talking to each other in the time to come. And we are talking here about speeds reaching up to Gbps, right? Now, legacy technologies like 4G, for example, that came, the first 4G setups that were rolled, that were somewhere in the year 2011 or 2012. I remember we had these London Olympics, 2012, right? And at that point of time, there was this great buzz that 4G network would change the way Olympics are. conducted, right? And a lot of people started experiencing. Now, where we are today, we are 10 years after that. So the requirements of these devices in terms of connectivity, in terms of speed, in terms of reliability, quality of service, etc., that has changed tremendously. Now, to address all those things, obviously you had to come up with a newer architecture, and that is where 5G comes into picture, right? So it promises lightning speeds, connectivity for billions and trillions of devices, right? And so on. And of course, future is going to be more connected, right? So today, if you look at the way you conduct your life, or just have a look around yourself, right? You see this communication technology at your house in most of the devices that you use, automobiles, hospitals, industries, machines, everywhere, right? Now, what has made this thing possible? It is just the ability of devices to communicate with each other, right? And as I said, moving forward, this communication will become all the more complex, right? So 5G gave us that, those features or that capability wherein you could develop all these things, right? So once we understand that, yes, future is going to be 5G, right? And of course, we are talking about 6G as well, right? So once we understand this thing that, yes, 5G is critical, it is going to be the next wave for us, then you start appreciating that Rome wasn't built in a day, right? You can't have a big bang wherein, say, on a Monday morning, everything is 5G enabled and everything is working like a charm, right? Now, whenever new technology comes in, obviously there is this slow ramp up curve, this painful ramp up curve where people need to adapt to this technology. When I say people, I'm also counting in devices, machines, the way we conduct business, the way machines talk to each other, automobiles, etc., etc. Right? But then this presents a challenge. Say today, if I have a 4G device, right, that has been in the market for last, say, 8 years, working fine. Now, suddenly I find myself that now the network has changed. It is no longer 4G. It is now 5G. Now, how do I know, will my device work or not in a 5G network? Do I need to modify something, right? Or do I need to update certain things? And apart from that, one is, of course, the compatibility with legacy devices. The other is, how do I actually get the benefit of 5G, right? So if 5G promises me greater speeds, then can I write an application, or can I come up with a IoT sensor, or can I come up with a device that actually utilizes this higher bandwidth and gives better services to its consumers, right? So that is where these labs or these prototype centers, they play a very, very essential role, right? And so that's one part of it. So if you look at the consumers of this 5G labs, as I said, device manufacturers, communication providers, operators, cellular operators, that's a big chunk of things. The other thing is more of a cultural and social change, right? Now, if you look at the Indian tech space, right? Now, India is a leader in IT, right? Or for that matter, any country, if it's in a leader in some sort of space, what does it mean? Or how does it become a leader, right? It becomes a leader because those particular capabilities, they become kind of ingrained within the society. So let's take an example of sports. Why do you think India is a powerhouse in cricket? One of the primary reasons is, you see small kids playing cricket, right? A lot of small kids play cricket. It's in our blood, right? And then some of these, obviously, because of training, because of their natural inclination and talent, obviously, they'll do good. Similarly with IT, what has happened in India is that it has seeped into our society, right? Today, you find children in say, class 6, class 8, class 10th. People are coding, or kids are coding, they are building Android apps, or they're doing something here and there, right? So IT has seeped into this. Now, what these labs actually would do is that encourage a lot of students or professionals who want to explore this or who are interested into experiencing 5G. So these labs would actually give them this very important platform as well. That, okay, if I want to learn it and say tomorrow, who knows, I might want to open a 5G company, right? Building some sensors or something of that type. So early starters or kids at a very young age or in college, these labs would actually provide them the ability to actually experience and then kind of learn these things. So by the time you're out of the college, they already have their basics sorted out. So that's a very impactful thing. And then that is where I guess these sort of labs, they are very, very important. And the government is also kind of encouraging this thing a lot, right?
That's right. That's right. Yeah, in fact, we have the government's recent initiative of 100 5G labs. Like, since we are on the topic, I was going to ask you later, why don't you ask you this question now? What can you tell us a little bit about that initiative?
Sure. Now, if you again look at the last few years, and I'm getting to the politics of this, one of the key areas where the governments of the day, especially in the last few decades, they've started to focus on is to market India as a technology hub, right? Now, traditionally, if you look at India, the world did not see India as a technology powerhouse, right? It's in the last few decades, probably 90s onwards, where this whole IT boom started. And then the governments started focusing on this thing. The world took a notice that, okay, yeah, there's something good that these guys are doing. And each successive government has played a role in it, right? Now, in the recent years, and especially if you look at the whole geographical scenario today, right? So you have a lot of countries collaborate with each other, but then there is also this tension or this thing happening that at the end of the day, you need to live or you need to stand on your feet as well, right? Now, how do you make that possible? To make those things possible, the governments of each important critical countries, they are encouraging. They are investing a lot into this thing, and they are providing these avenues and platforms where the government is funding. They want people to experience this. They want people to innovate. They want people to come up with patents, crazy ideas. Just try to implement things. And then especially in the last few years, you might have seen even in the budget that we have, there's a lot of focus on technology, right? And in the recent budget as well, there was a good amount of money that was kind of kept aside for this lab. Absolutely. And you just look at the things that have happened in the last few years, right? The whole digitization of the country, right? People used to look at the way people are using UPI today, right? Who would have thought a small vendor sitting somewhere, he would be doing these transactions on UPI, right? It's a tremendous thing, especially for a country of our size, right? And that has been only made possible because government has started focusing on these things. And then coming back to this 5G labs, 100 5G labs, I mean, what else do you expect the government to do, right? They have given you or they have given this special budget, set up 100 labs. And I'm sure this is not the end. This is just the start. So they are funding these labs. And then there are so many other things as well that are happening in and around this. So if colleges and institutions, they want to do this, There are grants available, there are subsidies available, right? So the government has actually gone out of their way to encourage this thing, right? And again, it's a cultural shift that they are trying to do, right?
So apart from, like, it will of course boost the 5G ecosystem, but peripherally we can also see a whole lot of other things that will happen with these kind.
Absolutely, right? Again, I'm coming back to that thing. Technology, like so many other things, it's a cultural thing, right? Why do you think West, and when I say West, I'm referring to US at this point of time, every time it is at the forefront of technology, right? Because the way their society has developed, technology has always been encouraged, right? And that is why they have been able to innovate so much. That is the reason why they are so ahead of all these things. You look at their college system, you look at the way grants are given, you look at the number of patents that these guys file, right? That's kind of amazing. And these guys have been doing it for the last 200 years, 200-300 years, right? And that is the primary reason we have US is where it is. Similarly, look at your eastern neighbor, China. In the last 30 odd years or so, they have actually put in so much of amount of effort into, again, this whole shift. China wasn't a technology powerhouse. Look where it is today. In the last 30 years, each and every action that these guys have taken, be it creating companies, be it providing an environment, be it building factories, be it creating those conditions, it has been to actually make China a technology powerhouse. Now, our government is also replicating the same thing, right? So, it's a cultural thing that they want to happen. Look at just the effects it has. Of course, you will have this very vibrant ecosystem of startups where anybody who wants to build something on this technology, he has an easy access on the infrastructure. He can visit this lab, come up with, say, a sensor, a device, or anything that he wants to do, test it in this lab, file a patent, maybe launch a company, right? And again, it is one of those things when it starts picking up pace, right? You kind of open the floodgates, right? If one person can do it, why not the other? Right, so it's kind of democratizing the whole system. So that is why I think, personally speaking, people are underestimating the impact of this thing. In the years to come, they'll probably realize at that point of time that what a fundamental shift this has brought to this thing. So yeah.
So Gaurav, we've spoken about 5G labs, we've spoken about research and students. What other use cases do you see?
Okay, so talking about the other avenues or places where this is going to make an impact, right? Now say, today a lot of industries that are already, or factories that are already manufacturing, producing a lot of, say, 4G or Wi-Fi equipment, right? And they want to move to 5G, right? Now, investing in an infrastructure for them isn't an easy thing, right? Now, what these labs actually will do is provide them a place. Say today they are manufacturing a 4G sensor, right? Now, tomorrow, if they plan to make a 5G sensor, how do they test it, right? This is the place, the lab, where they can come, bring in their equipment, right? And they can test it. I'll give you another example, right? Now, a lot of companies, their business model is that a lot of equipment, before it actually gets rolled out, there are a lot of test cases or standard testing that needs to be done. Now, where do they do that testing, right? Again, these labs provide the answer, right? I'll give you a very practical example, right? We have seen a lot of automobiles or car manufacturers rolling out connectivity solutions, right? So they have this TCU within their car. And what this TCU does is that it keeps on sending data to the cloud platform, right? And this data is basically health of your car, speed, etc. Now, tomorrow, because of the rollout of 5G, how does the car manufacturer know that his TCU will actually work, right? He can bring this TCU to this particular lab. He should be able to test it. Plus, at the same point of time, say, if I need to, so 4G has its own set of speeds that are on the lower side. When I say lower side, yeah, we are still talking in terms of hundreds of Mbps. But with 5G, we are talking of Gbps, right? So say tomorrow, if I need to roll out a technology similar to V2X, which is vehicle to everything, right? Now that, and then some of the security features on the car, collision avoidance, detection, etc., right? Now, how do I test those? And because that is much, much, much more real time. So we are talking here about the time it takes from the car for a message to leave TCO to reach to your server within, say, 5 milliseconds or some millisecond even, depending upon what the use case is. Now, to take advantage of this particular feature of 5G, the manufacturer, because this is a feature that isn't available in 4G, so the manufacturer cannot innovate or cannot come up with a solution for this, where does he test it? Now, he can bring that thing to the lab, and since the lab will support features of low latency, high reliability, you can have a V2X server running, the automobile manufacturer can test these things, prototype these things within the lab, and that should give him a lot of confidence to actually roll out things. So these sort of industries, I believe they'll get tremendous amount of benefit out of these, because you see, I mean, one of the problems that these industries face is that earlier, if they built a sensor or built a device, right, the only place they could test this thing was talk to a big operator, Airtel or Bharti's or of the world, right? Now, for a very small company with say 5 to 10 people, It's an uphill task, right? It's an uphill task. It needs a lot of investment as well. But with these labs, these are custom for these sort of small or medium enterprises. So these people, they can take tremendous benefit from these labs.
So basically, when we say this, the use, the benefits will be across industries, be it agriculture, mining, healthcare, it's like across industries.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you look at the way, and then this is what I was alluding to at the beginning, just look at the way, we have so many devices. In fact, we are surrounded by devices, right? There are more devices than the number of people in this world, right? Yeah, so in terms of industries, I mean, it's across everything, right? Be it automobile, manufacturing, health, construction, right? You find devices everywhere. And 5G is what will make these things tick in the time to come. Yeah, I mean, the field is open.
So kind of like moving away from use cases which are about, say, testing or validating existing or new, you know, products or solutions, 5G solutions that are coming up. And what about private 5G? Do 5G labs also, will they also play a big role in, letting us have the full potential of a private 5G network?
Sure, definitely. And again, if you look at the way this whole 5G technology evolved, right? Of course, with 4G as well, you have private enterprises or private networks, right? But with 5G, that is actually going to have this tremendous or give this tremendous boost to private networks, because the way the technology works, right? So, and then one of the primary objectives of 5G is to actually replace Wi-Fi, right? Now, a lot of enterprises actually tend to rely on Wi-Fi networks for their day-to-day application working, et cetera, et cetera. Now, with private 5G coming into picture, right, and providing all the required connectivity, speed, features, plus so many other things, this is definitely going to have a big impact on private enterprises. Now, again, there are certain so specific use cases around private enterprises in terms of interconnectivity and in terms of internet access, in terms of devices, right? That this opens this whole field wherein a lot of newer private enterprise applications and application developers who haven't actually explored this area, right, now are in a position that they can actually leverage these labs to actually develop, test, do prototyping of their applications for private 5G. So yes, definitely, it's going to be a game changer for private 5G as well.
That's great. So much, potential these things have. Now, coming to Amantya, speaking about Amantya's 5G IPs, could you tell us a little bit about Amantya's 5G lab solution?
Sure. And again, before I talk about that solution, again, I would want to take a step back. What was the idea behind this? Right now, Amantya was in the process of developing the 5G SA core. Now, what we realized at that point of time is that, okay, we have this SA core, right? But how do people actually start using it? Right. Of course, you'll have big operators, they'll always use it, or big organizations, they'll actually be using it, right? But then what about smaller organizations or say an IoT sensor manufacturer or a device manufacturer or an application developer, right? How do I kind of encourage him or provide him that space or provide him that platform wherein he can actually start using this particular technology, right? Because at the end of the day, if a technology is not being used or if it is not that pervasive, the technology doesn't really fly off, right? So with that intent in mind, we were very clear that we need to come up with something which is very simple, cost effective, and very, very easy to roll out, right? Now, if I go to a manufacturer of devices and I start explaining to him 5G technology and I tell him that, okay, you'll have to have 20 people to actually roll out this thing, and then you'll have to have an operations team, and then all those complexities that these big operators find themselves in. He'll say, my business is to actually make devices. I am not an operator, right? I can't manage these things, right? So the intent from the very beginning was to keep things simple, abstract out all the complexities that the 5G network has, and provide something which is very simple, very easy to digest, easy on eyes, and something so straightforward that the person who's actually using it doesn't actually see the complexity in it. It's something, just a small device sitting there. You just go ahead, switch on a button, and then wait for the magic to happen. So that was the intention behind this thing, right? Now, since that was the intention, we started building our network in a box lab solution, right? Again, the idea here was that we did not want to have a very big, very expensive, very large infrastructure, right? So it's a small box. You have the 5G core running in it. You have the 5G RAN or the Gnode, we have the radio part running within that same box, right? Both of them, by the way, are standard 3GPP compliant products, right? So you can take each piece out and you can integrate it with any standard implementation as well, right? Now, with this box running, and again, it's so simple to operate. We provide pre-configured boxes, SIMs as well. So what you have to do, or anybody has to do, is get this box, put it in his lab, switch on the box, and put one of these SIMs inside his 5G device or mobile. And he has 5G network. Right. So that was the intention. The way we built up this whole product, it was with this mindset only, right? And that's one of the reasons a lot of people who actually have seen this particular product or are now starting to use it, they are kind of surprised, actually, when we give them the demonstrations, okay, I've switched on this thing and you have 5G. And then they look at their phone, yeah, I can see 5G. And then they're kind of confused, huh? What the magic happened, right? And so coming back to this thing, and the other salient features of our product, of course, you can get a lot of this information from our website as well. It's a very flexible thing to have, right? As I mentioned, so the standard 5G core that we are running within this box, you can take that out, run it on a separate box. That's And then you can have a number of these lab boxes connected together. The other good thing that you can do is, so if you look at the 5G frequency spectrum, there are these different bands, right? And each country has started auctioning different bands. In India is where we have auctioned a couple of bands. Now, our 5G solution, right, that actually gives the lab owner the ability to actually tune the bands on which he wants to test, right? So for example, in India today, band number 78 is quite popular, right? So you just go ahead and select band number 78. Now say tomorrow, if somebody wants to test in band number 41, go ahead, change a simple configuration in the menu and you have band 41 running. Now, the other things being, see, if something is wrong somewhere, right? So the UI is extremely user-friendly. You can see alarms, you can see logs, you can see traffic that is passing through, right? And of course, at the end of the day, we also provide remote support and on-site support as with, as and when it is required, right? And then and these are the things that actually make the solution stand out, right? It's something very similar with cars. So you'll see a lot of good cars in the market, but then they don't become popular, right? A lot of things in terms of support, in terms of how or which features does the user actually use or want, are they present in that car, right? So that is the key here. So what we've tried to do is that we thought like a device manufacturer. So if I need to test my device, I would want these all features from my box. And that is how we kind of developed these things. So yeah, it's a very powerful solution. We have a lot of deployments as well these days.
And what kind of customers are currently using the solution?
Sure. So we have a very wide variety of customers that are actually using this particular solution, right? So you have telecom operators. We are using this. Then you have IoT device manufacturers. They are using this. Apart from this, you've set up a lot of labs in universities and some of the departments as well, wherein people, college students or employees, they would want to test or experience this whole 5G technology, right? So it's across the board, right? Customers that are using this particular solution.
And so what are the future plans for the solution? Any upgrades on the roadmap?
Sure, definitely. Now, the box that we have today, that is release 16 compliant, And these standards, they keep on evolving every 6 months, right? So we have a very rich roadmap for our NIAB, and we're quite committed to it as well, right? Now, we typically have these half-yearly releases in which there are two things at least that we kind of try to look at. One is, of course, bumping up the speed. So we have these different SKUs for our NIAB boxes, right? So somebody may want a cheaper, smaller solution. They can go for a smaller box. Somebody may want a more evolved, higher throughput solution, right? So they can go for a bigger box. Now, with each release, as I said, we typically bump up the throughput, right? When I say throughput, so say today we are supporting 400 Mbps, right? Now, in the next 6 months or so, you'll see this particular speed bumping up to 600 Mbps. And then, of course, by the later half of the year, we plan to take it to close to a Gbps, I mean. And from a feature-wise as well, we continue to enhance it in terms of adding new functionality, right? And already the 5G SA core that we have, it's a very rich, right? So a lot of 5G features that people want to experience, slicing or QoS or things like that, those things are already supported. But now what we plan to do is, so release 17 brings in a lot of features. Now there are things happening on the low latency side, ultra reliability. So our plans for this year are pretty much booked on these introducing these features.
And once upgraded, and as you say, it's a constant evolution of the product as well that's happening. How do you see it adding value and more benefits to the 5G ecosystem, be it in India, be it in the global markets?
Sure. Look, the thing is, as people understand this technology more and they're able to digest it more, people will start becoming comfortable with things, right? So today, few hundred Mbps may be sufficient for them, right? Tomorrow, people will come up with scenarios where they would need even higher speeds, where they would come up with even more evolved, complicated designs, right? And as the 3GPP rolls out newer features, newer specifications, since we have a committed roadmap, we keep on adding those features into our solution, which means that people who are using our NIAB solution, right, or the lab solution, they are able to actually feel these new features that 3GPP is kind of recommending or rolling out. And they can then enhance their design. They can then utilize or leverage the newer things that are happening in this ecosystem, right? And that's the whole benefit of this thing. It's such a flexible thing. And with Amantya so much being committed into this space, we don't see this as a stopgap thing, just a 3 month thing or a 6 month thing. This particular thing is here to stay, right? So that's the reason why, as standards evolve, as new things come from either the specifications body or generally as well, we are committed to keep on adding those features onto this particular box.
Wow, this was like a very, very interesting and remarkable solution that the company has come up with. And the way you're telling us, it's only going to go, it's going to scale up and up and up.
I hope so.
It's really good. And of course, the 5G labs are, adding their own dynamics to the 5G ecosystem. Thank you so much, Gaurav. It's been an excellent session. I am going away a little richer in knowledge and excellent takeaways. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. The pleasure was all mine.
Thank you.
So with this, we come to the end of this episode on 5G labs and their role in the future of connectivity. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you enjoyed listening to Gaurav share his views on the topic. We shall be back again with another interesting topic and discussion. Until then, this is Rohina signing off. Bye-bye.